There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So viva Las Vegas.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katzlamitas of the Greenspun Media Group. I write the Cats Report, Las Vegas Sun, LasVegasSun.com. I write for Las Vegas Weekly, Vegas Magazine, all the titles in Greenspun Media. Joined once again by Tricia McCrone, my beautiful co-host. What's up, Disharita?
Happy New Year, number one.
Happy New Year.
Oh my gosh. Like, so it's a whole new year and we're reunited. Do we have to pay for that? I didn't quite finish the word.
I'll call Peaches if you call Herb.
I will. We're like.
Herb ran that show, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he was in charge. There were like nine different Peaches, but only one Herb.
There was. And is it Herb or Herb?
Herb in this instance. Okay. Did I say herb?
No, I'm thinking because sometimes the H is silent. Sometimes it's an herb.
If you were to sprinkle him across
a salad,
it would be herb. But okay. If he's singing a song, it's herb.
So now tell me what you did on New Year's Eve.
I had a heck of a run here in Las Vegas. On December 30th, I went to see Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett at the Chelsea.
Who are they? I'm sorry, please explain. Who might they be? I'm just kidding.
Lady Bennett and Tony Gaga, as I kept calling them all.
I'm sorry, I'm not familiar. I'm just kidding.
He is a singer of note.
I've heard.
And she is a pop artist of note. And they did a series of jazz standards, all the great hits at the Chelsea.
And
really wonderful.
And how
show.
What temperature was her outfit cooked? Was it medium? Medium well?
It was room temperature.
Okay, good. There you go.
And it was all classic. Yeah, she didn't. She wasn't ready for the grill.
There you go. I saw your photos
show.
On Instagram. They were
how about that? It was a very nice night. And then I saw Jennifer Lopez at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace on New Year's Eve.
Again,
she is. Do you remember the show In Living Color?
Yes. Oh, she was a fly girl. There you go. Now I know who you're talking
about. Jim Carrey was on the show.
Oh, who?
Somebody named Fox.
okay, I remember the Fly Girls. Rosie Perez was on that show. I remember.
So Jim Carrey and who else? Fox. No, the Wayans brothers.
And Davidson, Tommy Davidson. Yes, he was.
Yes.
Tommy Davidson and...
Yeah. Hell of a cast.
Yeah, and some other people that... Oh, what's his... The Two Snaps Up, whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Raining men. That, yeah.
So anyway, she was at the Coliseum and that is going to precede, I will say, what is likely to be a residency for J-Lo at Axis at Planet Hollywood, folks. Look out for that.
That'd be awesome.
Very... yes. Confident of this. So that was a test drive for her at the Coliseum.
Fine.
And the woman, you know the thing about Jennifer Lopez? She's 45 years old.
Her body's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Hello.
She gets prettier as she ages, which never happens with women.
And is present in this performance, really impressively. Yeah. She's emotionally involved. She's in the audience. And there are a lot of people who perform in Las Vegas, let's face it, at that level, who are not. And
oh, that's just BS. Sorry.
Ding, 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 ding. Nice shot.
There you go. Thank you.
So anyway, and then on January 1st was Justin Timberlake at MGM Grand Garden.
Wow.
Arena. Boom.
I am familiar with.
Yeah, there you go. So those are the three shows where I came back into town on the 30th and hit it running. So that leads me to you, baby. How are you doing?
I'm good. Of course, I was in Montana and had probably, I think that the hashtag for the last week of my Montana vacation was, that happened. Like, the most bizarre stuff took place, and I just don't understand. Like, I mean, it's literally, like, my little spinnaker, how I miss spinnaker at the bar.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it's, like, you can't even move in there. And the lead singer, Foghat, is performing Foghat songs. And this guy next to me goes, you know what? God, they're doing a lot of Foghat, and they sound really good. And I'm like, well, that might be. It was so
That's
much
such a
fun.
Great story.
Yeah, it was. So, I mean, literally. I mean, snowmobiling up on top of mountains. Where I this is gonna sound so shishy, but it's so true that the Dom Perignon froze in my flute.
So Dom Perignon has a freezing temperature of like any other liquid.
Apparently, it was a slushy.
Somehow, I think it would be. Oh my God!
It was a
really?
Slushy, and I took a picture
with
it.
It
was
down?
Yeah.
Did you drink it that way?
Hello. Have we met? It was like a Dom slushy.
I don't know. That actually, this week I will have celebrated 14 years without having a drink on purpose in my life. But that right there almost sounds like a good idea.
It was fascinating. It was really fascinating. Oh, and unfortunately, that happened, and that just set the mark for the day. But as I say, I come to Vegas to get sober and lose weight. I'm one of the only people that dry out in Vegas. That Montana is my naughty girl.
Well, we're in for a big year. I mean, there's a lot going on in the city. We're gonna we have been.
And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. And we're going to be seeing a good friend of ours and have seen Frankie Perez. We got to give him a good send off. He's going to be touring
so
and recording
bummed.
For 18 months with a three-piece act called Apocalyptica. And they are a rock and roll cello outfit. Frankie Perez is one of the great people and performers in this city. He's become a good friend of mine over the past couple of years. And so we're wishing him well. There's news happening with the other Frankie. Frankie Marino is going to be announcing something soon. I will tell you that as far as a residency. That's going on.
I'm going to miss the dirty.
You're going to miss the dirty.
That was one of the most fun I've had in Vegas in the last year. Mm-hmm. Was going to see the Dirty, which Frankie Perez's group that was at the Red Rocks Lounge,
mm-hmm.
and it was fascinating.
Exactly, and Zoe Boy is still going to be holding court there. David Perico's moving a new act in to replace the Dirty that's going to have strings in it. A lot of exciting stuff.
And I missed
stuff.
Our great friend Stephanie Sanchez did a performance
at
the
Tuscany.
I was gone for that with
Kenny Davidson, the Bowtie Cabaret. So, with all that plugging,
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, everybody!
Bring on 2015.
Exactly. After Josh Bell talks about movies, we're going to have a recurring guest on our show, one of the great entertainers in the city, and he's moved on to Planet Hollywood, Sin City Theater. His name is Murray Sawchuk. He goes by Murray, the celebrity magician. He'll be up next after Josh. So stick around. I know we will.
Viva! Viva! Las Vegas!
Angel Perino, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
As long as I am unable to exercise my constitutional right to vote, I do not have command of my own life. I cannot determine my own destiny, for it is determined for me by people who would rather see me suffer than succeed.
That's David Oyelowo as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the historical drama Selma. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Selma is a sometimes powerful, sometimes stilted look at the 1965 march from Selma to Montgomery in Alabama to rally for voting rights for African Americans. The movie's most effective moments are its most visceral, when director Ava DuVernay brings home the very real dangers that activists and average people faced when asserting their basic rights. Some of the supporting characters come off as history textbook lessons rather than real people. But as history lessons go, Selma mostly creates a sense of real life being lived, rather than just facts and figures being dramatized. I give Selma 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Inherent Vice, Paul Thomas Anderson's adaptation of the novel by notoriously inscrutable author Thomas Pynchon.
I need your help, Doc.
You know, I have an office now. That's like a day job and everything.
I looked in the phone book and almost went over there. Then I thought better for everyone if this looks like a secret rendezvous.
So, somebody keeping a close eye?
The story about Southern California private eye Larry Doc Sportello, played by Joaquin Phoenix, investigating the disappearance of a real estate mogul, among many, many other things, in 1970, is ridiculously complex, but its incomprehensibility is part of the point. Inherent Vice is a little too long and meandering for a Shaggy Dog story, but even or especially when it's completely baffling, it's frequently very funny. I give Inherent Vice 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Viva Las Vegas! Yeah!
Welcome back. It is said that the sun never sets on a reality show concept involving Murray Sawchuk. America's Got Talent, Pawn Stars, Wipeout, and Extreme Escapes are among those shows that Murray has been on. He's a busy marketer and promoter of his stage show on the Strip, and there's been activity there, too. In December, he moved into a new home at Sin City Theater at Planet Hollywood. And here to talk about why that happened and where his career is today is celebrity magician, a friend of the show, Murray Sawchuk. How's
hey,
it going?
John, how you doing, Trish? How's it going?
Hey, okay.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We also forgot to mention that he may have measurably the highest hair on the Strip.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to add, while we're listing your credits, yeah. I think we need to add that.
High blonde hair.
Possibly. Yes. I mean, Siegfried had pretty high blonde hair back in the day.
Not even close. And Chris Phillips is trying, yes. but he's got at least 3 inches to go, I think. Yeah. Oh, that might sound
hello.
Bad.
Heard
but
that
yes.
before.
Chris has never heard that before.
Of course
not. Now, when did you get to Las Vegas? I think you predate Phillips in this deal, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I got to Vegas in 2002. I opened my show January 26th. 2002 at the
Fremont.
Frontier Hotel. Right after they had that 8-year culinary union strike.
Oh,
so I came.
Yeah.
I didn't know
Lucky
that.
You.
I, yeah, I came from Orlando.
You're
Canada,
a Canucky. You
and
know
yeah, I
things.
Literally landed thinking, well, you get a bunch of awards. You know, I should sell tickets. I'll be good. Wow, what a shock!
A lot
know?
Of people have since yes. had that happened to yeah, them. Many,
sure.
many entertainers.
Yeah, I learned really quickly that because I had a producer, I had a ticket investor who helped me with the whole thing, and I thought you come to Vegas and you're good. People come see the show. And I didn't obviously I learned the last 10 years how to do that. But that first, we had a 2-month contract and we extended for another 2. So it went 4 months and we did okay. Cause that was back in the day when there wasn't a Tickets Tonight. There wasn't half price tickets. Mm-hmm. Tickets were a hard sale. You know?
And you're mentioning ticket brokerages.
Yeah, brokerages. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, if you wanted a ticket, you went to the box office of the hotel. There wasn't,
and
you know
what? I'm sorry. I kind of missed that.
So, well, everyone made more money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
No, yeah, that's the yeah. Don't blame the game,
yeah.
or don't blame the players. Blame the game.
That's right,
in Las Vegas, right?
Yeah, I mean everyone made more
well,
money.
Well, yeah, it's a different thing, and also it was the back in the day where casinos got behind their artists, and
sure they did.
It wasn't. There was no such thing as
Simple.
A four wall.
And there were four. There were four hotel
starting.
Casinos on the Strip, and
that's
blah
right.
blah blah. Yeah,
the four walls
eight
meant
shows.
That's just where you performed. Didn't mean any
yeah.
what it means today.
Yeah.
You mentioned something as we were walking in, Marie, about what your day was like today.
Sure.
What did you do before you came in here today?
Well,
an example
after you put your finger in the socket.
Yeah, I know, right? That's what I always do every morning. And coffee and a finger and socket. But no, really, we just signed in with a new ticket broker group in town, which is EBG in town. Everyone knows who they are if they have a show here. And I've never worked with them because of the Trop. We didn't have that deal. But now with Caesars Entertainment, we do. And they got about 20 brokers around. And, you know, it's really important that when you have a show in Vegas and you're not Elton John, you have to go and meet these people. They don't know exactly who you are. And yes, I do a lot of TV, but that doesn't mean anything, you know, when you're not a legend, you know, or you're not Rod Stewart, you know. So it's one of those things. You got to shake hands. You got to, you know, like today I went around, met everybody, shook hands, gave them DVDs, coffee mugs, invited them to the show. I said, bring your family, bring whoever you want, you know. And most, you know, half of them recognized me in the Pawn Stars and a few shows when I walked up. And they were like, yeah, we can't believe we're selling your tickets now. What took you so long? I said, well, it's just the way the business works, you know, different hotels.
Tell me how the relationship works exactly, you know? Marie. I've always been fascinated by this because this is what helps set you apart.
Sure.
I'm a broker.
Yeah.
And you come to me. Now, what is my function in this relationship? You're going to give me a stack of tickets, and I'm going to sell them for a price higher than their face value.
Yeah, the way it works for people that don't know the business is everyone's got to make their piece of the pie, everybody. So just say as an example, I have a $50 ticket. That's the actual price the consumer pays to you as the broker, all right? So what I do is we go, great, you're going to sell a $50 ticket. Now, whether it's a half price place or it's every deal is different with each broker, but like say it's a 50% place. Well, say my ticket's normally 50%. Well, we knock it off, which is $25. So $50 down to 25.
Okay.
And then what usually happens is you give the broker 20, 30, 50, sometimes 60 or 70% of your sale. And then you get the rest. There's a few producers in town. I'm not going to name who they are, but they were very successful about 10 years ago by kicking back. Like we're talking $50 to $70
a ticket. It was documented that David Sachs.
Yeah,
was,
he said that.
I didn't say that, but yeah. Oh, well, okay. So
he has said it. That, you know.
Sure.
But no, the question.
But he's phenomenal at that. Yeah. He's the P.T. Barnum of this town.
Yeah,
oh,
this
no, I have respect for him.
But the question that I have is, let's say I have a show.
Yeah.
My and the Dish Hour, or the Dish, you know, whatever it is.
I'd buy a ticket to that.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you.
50%. I'd buy a ticket to that.
There you go.
Tell me more.
Hello. There you go. We've been friends for a long time. You've seen many Dish Hours.
So
my show and your show, we're each $50. We go into the ticket broker. Now, let's say that you are giving $25 of your $50 to the ticket broker.
Yes.
Now, can I say I'll give you $35? Or is it a universal number? Because then they're going to pitch my show before they pitch your show because they're getting an extra $10, even though I have no talent compared to you.
Yeah, the more you kick back to people, the better. You know, a big system that people don't realize is sometimes you will see a ticket price of $89 for a ticket. Realistically, if an artist is in the category of my level, which is, you know, a C-level entertainer, B-level entertainer, not legendary status like the Elton Johns and that, when you come into that, it works when you have an $80 ticket. What happens is you have an $80 ticket, then you have an ad that says 30% or 50% off. So that goes down to $40 ticket. Then the broker gets $20. So really, you're ending up with a $14 ticket in your pocket at the end of an $80 ticket. But a lot of times, that's kind of like the after January sales at Walker Furniture. Go there, here's a $5,000 couch for $2,200. What I do? Well, they just mark it up to mark it down. So in this business, it's no different than sales and furniture or sales and cars. Yeah. I mean, it's a business.
But it does come down to, I mean, because, and that's where I think that, and I get it, it's a successful business where I understand that. But as somebody who is not a performer, as somebody who is a ticket person, I would like there to be a universal number that says that the ticket brokers deserve to get whatever their little payback is. But it should be, okay, let's say it's $10. Yep. It should be $10 for every ticket. I don't care if it's Cirque du Soleil, if it's Murray, if it's Elton John, if it's whoever. And because, you know, then sometimes the ticket brokers will push something that the consumer doesn't know just because they're getting more money. Like it could be a magician that is giving, or illusionist, or comedy, you know, because you do everything. You do comedy, all that. Somebody like, I could pretend I'm a magician. There has been some people who have performed on the strip who have pretended that they are magicians.
Sure, many.
And I won't name a name, but I seem to recall one where every prop fell apart in the first. And as a matter of fact, we worked that together. I was your producer. You hosted that. And that was one of the most embarrassing days of my life. But that, it, to me, I could be going to see you, who I know you are a fantastic magician.
Yes.
Or I could have gone to see this person who didn't know what they were doing, but because they got more money from the ticket broker.
Of course, it goes back to the ticket broker. You know, like I tell people,
they pushed it. They pushed my show.
You can have more dancers. You can have newer costumes. Yeah. You can have amazing lighting, but if the people aren't in the room to see it, who cares? You know, at the end of the day, when you, like for me, I work as a producer, talent, and an agent, and a publicist. All my, I have people that work for me as well. Brooke Simmons and James Stevens and all those lovely people. It's true.
Love her. And She's my favorite. She's great to work with.
She is. And, but my real publicist is Cheryl Kagan, which most people know.
I love Cheryl.
And she's phenomenal. And so, but there's times where I'll use her. Sometimes I'll use myself, but people don't always know who I'm using. But what's important is, you know, the greatest thing, and I have a lot of respect for David Sachs, is I remember when I went to a box office years ago and he came up with the V show. Brilliant, though, because there was O and there was V. Well, he was doing a huge kickback program with the brokers. And I'm sharing this because since you mentioned he brought it up, is the fact that you'd go to the top box office and the book would be open to, of course, the V show. And people were like, well, do you have any Cirque shows? Well, they'd be like, well, the O show, unfortunately, is sold out. But we have the V show, which is very similar to the O show. And it's one letter. It's one. Nobody knows. The look of it looks the same. And the show
it's
is great.
It's one letter.
The V show is amazing.
One letter. I love
the V show
it's
is a great, great act. They got amazing acts. And most of them are dear friends of mine.
The head of a tourist.
Well, whatever. And you go, okay, whatever's available. I need four tickets for my kids. Well, you know, they got to see something tonight. We got 3 hours. And you go and see it. It's brilliant marketing from that perspective.
It's still a great show, yes. And David Sachs is brilliant. So. He is brilliant. And he really has kind of, you know, just kind of like whoever it was that started with the bottle service. I don't remember who that was.
Of course.
You know, it's revolutionary. Mm-hmm. It's revolutionized.
$35 Grey Goose for $450.
Yeah, like it really has revolutionized the world that we live in terms of tickets.
It's changed the way ticketing is operated in Las Vegas. That has. And and David and I have talked about this a few
he's
times.
Brilliant to do it.
And he understands it.
Sure
and he's from Las
and
Vegas.
And he's from it. He gets it.
He had a head start. You know, I've always felt, you know, we've talked about this, where entertainers come into town and they just think, I'm great.
And I'm going to get a room. I was one of them in 2002.
I'm going to get a room.
Yeah.
And here comes the tide. Well, one theory I have is that one reason I think that entertainers have suffered in Las Vegas is because tickets are high. The price of tickets are relatively high compared to other things you can do. It's complicated to get a ticket in some ways. You just don't call a number. It's like, you know, what do you do? And there are many, many shows in Las Vegas. There are upwards of 100 each week, I think.
For sure, over 100.
Yeah.
Over 100.
And my question to you is this a trend that's going to always be in place? Or is there, do you see from all of your positions a way that this is going to swing back and become more simplified, less emphasis and importance on the brokers and more on just the hotel itself, selling a ticket and the entertainer being paid for that ticket?
That's an interesting topic because I don't know. I know in certain situations, like whether you're with MGM Mirage or you're with Caesars Entertainment, they're monopolies. So there is an interesting fact that when you're with one company, it's interesting how those tickets are sold more than others. And I think you might see a difference, and this is just up for opinion. I don't really have one yet on it, is that one day and I think it might happen in 10 or 15 years or even sooner, that we're going to go back to a non-monopoly type of format of hotels. And I think companies might start selling off hotels like owners like Phil Ruffin and Sheldon Nelson.
Who I
and the
love
Wynn,
Phil
you know,
Ruffin,
but,
by
but
the way.
But when you
shout
have your own individual
Ruffin.
Hotel,
yeah.
it becomes more competitive and there's a different game being played. But when
well,
you have two
like
monopolies,
it's a
different story.
Too. I mean, the Tropicana, you have Alex Yemenijian yes. being the head over there.
Of
and
course.
That it's who I love more than anything. He's my family. Mm-hmm. Being all disclosing aside, he is my family, literally. And but, you know, in the Phil Ruffins and now Sheldon Adelson mm-hmm. having just the two properties, which, you know, he is such a mogul. You think, you know, obviously he's got Macau and all of that. But that you do have these two huge companies.
They really control so much.
They control so much. And yeah. they are, you're right, I think, isn't it the rumor that they're getting rid of Rio? Is that still the case?
There has been talk about Caesars shedding that property for a while. And okay. they're
I've been
gone
be
restructured
for a month.
This month.
Sure. Yeah, I've been gone for
but,
a month. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that, well, let's talk about your the Laugh Factory situation that you had.
Sure.
You were cruising along at the Laugh
That's
Factory,
right.
which was a leased room.
So I was a third party. Laugh Factory was second party.
Yeah, you were the third party That's and right. a second party. And
right.
you're just cruising along.
Yeah.
You're moving along. And all of a sudden.
To those who don't understand that. So the Tropicana owns the Laugh Factory. They leased the space to somebody. And then you were leasing. How did that work?
No,
just explain.
Tropicana owns the hotel.
Yes.
They
which
leased
is Alex.
The room
yeah. They leased the room to the Laugh Factory.
Yes.
Jamie Masada. Right.
They pay like a rental fee.
Of
they're
course.
Just basically renting
they're a vendor.
Room. Yes.
Yeah. And then, kind of like at a fair, you yes. rent a piece of land, you sell your hot dogs, fair is over, you leave. So with this, Laugh Factory is within their premise and they have a lease with agreements and rules and regs. And then they can hire outside talent. They hired Gallagher, they hired Roseanne. Mm-hmm. I was the first of that whole mix of bringing
you were in there
headliners.
For a long time.
And then I'm the third party and I'm contracted through Laugh Factory. So I have no contracts with
Tropicana.
I still have to abide by their rules and they still have to approve me to be on their property. Because if it's not a mm-hmm. brand that they like or it looks good with a hotel, same as when I moved to Planet Hollywood with Caesars, they at the end of the day had to approve my show and me on their property. Because if they didn't want my style or look
yeah,
or whatever, they could
Yeah, it has to fit into the greater.
It has to.
This happens
yes.
in a lot of these four-wall places that people don't realize. There is a certain level of quality
sure.
control.
So the
even
higher ups do have that power.
Right.
Yeah, and even to the lessees, you know, mm-hmm. of the space. So
you're moving along in your 4 o'clock slot there,
and
all of a sudden, Tropicana, outside this lease agreement mm-hmm. with Laugh Factory, hires Jan Rooven
yes.
and his new illusion show to go into the big room, which was unoccupied, basically had been unoccupied.
Yeah,
they bring in two shows simultaneously, Rock Vault
yes.
and Jan Rooven. Murray Sawchuk now has one option.
To leave. Yeah, that's the option. To
now,
leave
what happened?
Leave.
What went through your mind when you learned of this?
Well, here's funny. What's really funny is ironic. You were part of this. I woke up that morning, 9:30, 10 in the morning, and I believe it was the beginning of October, first week of October, something like that, and literally having coffee on my patio. The weather was still amazing. And I'm reading the paper as I usually do every morning. I get the paper, sit there for half an hour.
In your robe? Like,
yeah, honest
like,
to God,
like,
I do.
Like,
robe, coffee,
like
and the two
like,
chihuahuas.
Like, but yeah. Are you posing like you're in GQ or
well,
something?
Well, not that morning, but
okay,
the morning before
right,
I was, though. But thanks for asking that. And so I'm
like
sitting
I said,
there.
We've been friends a long time.
Of course. And I get a call from Harry Basil, who's my producer and one of the owners of Laugh Factory Las Vegas. He says, hey, Murr, and I see a phone call at 10 in the morning, which usually isn't normal for him or anyone to call me at that time. So he said, hey, Murr, just got a call from the president of the Tropicana. And usually that statement at 10 in the morning, you already know.
That's not good.
He's not sending you a fruit basket. You know what I mean? Like, you just know it's just not. I've been around for long enough in this business. That call happens at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, not in the morning. So I said, yeah, hey, what's up? He says, well, Murr, I said, you're not going to believe this, but I just got off the phone from Fred Harmon and the gang over at Tropicana.
Director of marketing.
That's right, director of marketing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he says, your contract that we currently have now, which ends October 30th, unfortunately, it's going to have to end. We won't be able to extend you like we've been doing for the last couple of years. And I just said, so who's the magician coming in? And he laughed and he says, well, we can't disclose that just yet, but there's another magician coming in. And well, he said, I can probably tell you. He said, well, it's going to be Jan Rooven. I said, well, I know Jan. He's a good friend of mine. I said, that's interesting. I said, oh, I figured he might be coming in because he was looking at properties. I know he wanted to move somewhere. And I said, wow. I said, so that's it. So 3.5 weeks, huh? He says, yep. He says, I have no choice in it. I said, because we don't have a non-compete. Sorry.
Non-compete,
I should know.
Yeah.
So it was a non-compete. They had a non-compete because they were directly with the hotel's owner. So that's what happened. They had a non-compete, basically. And Laugh Factory doesn't have a non-compete for me because of the fact that I'm a magician in a comedian's world. So that's where I'm at. So basically, I haven't even seen the newsroom drop yet, and it wasn't in the newspaper yet because it just was released that day. So.
Well, that's my Johnny Katz here. He's on the ball.
Well, I remember
exactly what's happening. Before
I remember you saying, "Wait a second, I think it's just a rumor."
Yes,
you know, right
that's
now.
Right.
You were really cold when I got you, and I said,
"That's
wait.
Right."
I
yeah,
said,
yeah.
"This is actually."
It's out.
We're not screwing around.
That's
it was
right.
really happening.
Yeah, yeah, because I was playing dumb to it because I didn't know
which
whether
smart,
people
which
were fishing,
is
which is normal.
To do, yeah.
And I thought, because I didn't see anything in print, nobody clear with me in the sense of, hey, just know, you
yeah.
say, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
So I was like, my God, I don't know where. So then all of a sudden I got all these messages and then I Googled it and then I saw it was released probably 45 minutes before, as I was on the phone. And then that's when I came back to, I think. And I thought,
yeah.
oh, I better answer somebody.
And the
so,
question yeah. was, you know, what is going to happen you know, with Murray? And,
yeah.
and through we've tracked you through all your
I know.
Your crisscrossing of the Las Vegas Valley and
busy
closing
6 weeks.
In front of a bunch of venues that were never
that was
in
fun.
Play.
Exactly.
The Silverton.
The Wild
Buffalo
Wild West.
Bills.
That was my favorite shot, the Wild Wild West. Yeah.
Mesquite.
Yes.
The
Mesquite.
Castle.
Yeah,
I
Castle. I drove out there, yeah. First time I seen the hotel. Laughlin. I got a nice
didn't
theater.
Did you go to Laughlin,
I
too?
I did, yeah, yeah.
I love Laughlin. We were big
hotel.
Fans of Laughlin.
Big
now.
Fans of Laughlin?
Yeah, yeah.
We
were big fans
so
of Laughlin.
So tell us now, as we get
sure.
edge toward the end of the show, we're gonna, yep. we need that update. Where the show at Sin City Theater, 4 yeah. o'clock weekdays.
That's
and,
right.
Or every day.
Every day, 6 days a week. We're dark on Fridays, so, and some families and everything.
This is, you got Lefty in there?
I got Lefty, Chloe.
And Chloe, your wife,
Lefty, Chloe, and myself. It's three of us. We got a bit more magic in the show. I brought in, I have actually a pair of handcuffs from Houdini that are in the show now because I've realized people.
Oh, I was about to say, that's really personal.
You know, that it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Hello.
You and Chloe do in your own time.
I know.
It's none of our business.
Hey, it's Vegas and it sells, right?
Two birds with one stone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why not?
A personal
right?
and professional.
Naughty and nice.
That's a way to
Chloe
sell
Chloe is your beautiful
exactly.
wife for those people who don't
yes.
know.
Yes. Yep.
Who's
also
fantasy.
Fantasy.
Stars
yes.
and fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, no, we started bringing some aspects of my reality shows in because, I've done over 16, and I realize now when I first started in the reality world, 10 years ago, I'd say who's seen me on TV and maybe one clap in the audience. Now it's 80 to 90% of the audience. So a lot of my ticket sales are driven through the TV I do, which now that's how I get ahead of the competition in this town personally. Yes, you do your cookie runs and you shake hands with brokers and you take people for dinners. You make those wonderful relationships, and that's a great part of it. But it's nice to now kind of steering ahead, having that exposure on TV, which no one can really stop you from having because it's there. And if you're that aggressive like I am and you put your time in, it really helps ticket sales because people go, oh my God, I want to see that guy live. He actually
right.
has a show. What does he do? So that helps a lot for where I'm at right now and moving properties from a single hotel to a family hotel with, like, I think they have 7 hotels, Caesars. It's a big change, and I'm with 7 more ticket brokers than I never was and I couldn't get in with. So it really, really helps a lot.
And isn't it true that it's kind of a symbiotic situation in this way? Being from Las Vegas helps you get on TV.
Isn't that weird?
And then being on TV helps your Vegas show.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's
it's
circling around now.
It's literally a conveyor belt.
Jan's
really
found that to be true, I think,
yes.
in his road work.
Yes.
You might be doing a show for 150 people over here, but that affiliation, you on that marquee, you put that out there internationally.
Yeah.
Your Vegas act.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And if you have Vegas on your resume, with Wayne Newton, Trish, he's always been Mr. Vegas, but that helps so much. Even if you do one show in Vegas and you go to Iowa or Oklahoma or New York and you say, direct from Vegas. People don't know whether it was direct 10 years ago, 20 years ago, yesterday, but that sells. And maybe you weren't even. There's a lot of people at BS out there, but it works. We're like,
just how everybody's the entertainer of the year. That's amazing.
It's like
every
the degree of entertainers,
We have
it's like a bachelor,
We have had this happen recently where there was there's a person who's come back into Las Vegas who was out of the picture for a number of years who's always built himself as a Las Vegas act, done the cruise ships, done all these shows, one-offs all over the country, came back into town with, an unspecified gig.
Yep.
But he still thinks this person is still presenting himself as a Vegas act.
You're
and
right.
I'm like, I've lived here for a long time. I haven't seen this guy in about 5 years in Las Vegas.
I haven't seen him for 7 if I know who
I know.
But the billboard looks great. You know what I mean?
I haven't seen him for 16. And by the way,
I wish it was more specific.
And I know there's a lot of vagueness. I called you up about this, didn't I? Without naming. Oh gosh, this is going to be good.
Did.
Everybody try to figure out who it is.
Yeah, I know, right? I think I'm right, but I don't know.
You are right.
I called you up like, am I missing something?
Great billboard to the airport.
Is it missing a billboard? Is the billboard missing something?
This could be coming back to that hair conversation. conversation we had earlier.
I know, right? Yeah. Exactly. I still get highest hair, though. Yeah, but I, you know, on promotion, though, I give him credit, though, because he takes a page out of my book, you know?
But
when
it
you're
would
not working,
help.
Look like you're working. And when
but
you,
it
you know,
would help to so. Actually have a place of operation.
Correct.
You're right. And I have to send a specific on the air shout out to your mom and dad, who are the loveliest of people, to tell them that
John
I said
Arlene,
hello.
I will.
You have wonderful parents, and I want to send a personal hello to them.
Thank you. I'm very fortunate. They're good people, so I think I'll keep them around for a while.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, Murray Sawchuk. He's doing it at 4 p.m. daily at Planet Hollywood Sin City Theater upstairs.
Yes.
That's across from the old Peep Show Theater
Jeff
Dunham is doing work now.
Yeah.
And a busy space.
Yeah,
very
really
busy space.
Oh, very
and
busy.
You're helping generate a lot of activity in a place that a lot of people don't know exists.
You're right.
So congratulations on that.
Thank
we're going to come and see you soon.
Yeah, please do.
And
you guys are always invited.
We'll have you on again as time moves forward.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. And have a great New Year.